What's up, Ramley? You are now in the kitchen with Chef Nixon for all your fixings for the latest and greatest of VCU men's basketball. So, VCU hosted the Dayton Flyers this Friday. How'd it go? Let's get into it. All right. So, Dayton, they entered this game literally flying. They have a record of 19-3. They are 9-1 in the conference, number one in the A-10. Their only loss coming to the University of Henrico, and they have won 17 of the last 18 games. So they're playing extremely well. They're ranked number 18 in the country right now. They're a tough team, physical team. They lead with their defense. Really hard to score on them. They have size and length throughout. Even their smaller guards are strong guards. They're well built. Nobody can be easily pushed around on Dayton's team right now. And they're coached by former head coach, VCU head coach, Anthony Grant. For those who aren't familiar with Anthony Grant, the toughness, the physicality, that fits him to a T. That's what he likes to. That's what he likes to preach. He is the coach who recruited me out of high school to come to VCU, and I always like to say that he groomed the dogs that led the Final Four. And that's no shade from Shaka. My analogy is Coach Grant groomed the dogs, made us put the beware the dog sign up, and Shaka was the one to come and let us off the leash. So we ran wild. One of the best coaches in the country. The Ramblers should be very familiar with him, his coaching style. There we have it. But Dayton, his Dayton team is led by Daron Holmes. We talked a lot about Daron Holmes throughout the season. He's probably going to be the second player that I've witnessed win the Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year behind Ace Baldwin. He's averaging 20 points per game, 8 rebounds, 2.3 blocks per game, with 3 assists as well. Daron Holmes had an excellent year last year. We've seen in the A-10 tournament in the championship against VCU how dominant he could be. But even with that, he found a way to come back this year and become a better player. Shooting the 3 well, handling the ball on the perimeter. He's shooting 3 from, like, he's 40% from 3. He doesn't take a ton of them, but he's 40% from 3. So how will VCU be able to handle him? I know Dayton doesn't really go that deep into their bench. They do have some other guys like Berea, Santos, Cheeks that could really impact the game. However, the key will be stopping Daron Holmes. How will they fare? How will Dayton fare in the packed out stew with the 6 men going crazy on a Friday night primetime? We'll see. So on the other hand, VCU, they enter this game rolling in their own right with a record of 15-8, 7-3. They're number 4 in the A-10 right now. Also winners of 7 of the last 8 games. Should be 8 of 8 last games. 8 game win streak. Somehow dropped one to St. Bonaventure. Still stings. But this game right here would be crucial to their record and also their resume as we close in on the back end of the season. Still a long shot for at-large bid in my eyes, just due to the fact that the committee is up in the air sometimes with how they judge teams. Will they allow some leniency that VCU really didn't get their full team until conference play, or will they really hold a lot against us from our out-of-conference play as well? So that's kind of up in the air. But also, you know, beating University of Henrico, and if they were able to pull off a win over Dayton, that possibly could move the needle. VCU has found their identity defensively, and for sure, this game here would be a defensive battle, with both teams being top three ranked top three defensively in the A-10. And I just find it funny how, you know, the A-10 was boosted to be this offensive juggernaut, have all these offensive juggernauts. But when you look at it, the teams at the top of the league, Loyola Chicago, VCU, Dayton, University of Henrico. All these teams are really good defensively. I find that to be that's the funniest thing to me. So offense does matter. Offense puts butts in seats, but defense wins games and defense wins championships and is show and prove right now. So for all you offensive guys, beat it. So how can VCU slow down Holmes? Will they be able to handle the pressure of facing a ranked team? And we do got to talk about that. I really hope I remember, because there is something that I want to discuss, talk about playing a ranked team. But let's really get into the game, how things went. Let's start off here. Immediately, you see there's going to be a defensive battle. We talked about that earlier. And you can tell off the bat that Dayton did their homework on VCU. Of course, VCU did their job on them, but Dayton, and I really think they didn't do this enough, to be honest with you. Dayton attempted to press early. They hit, I think it was Santos that hit a three, and they immediately got into their 2-2-1 press. And I felt as if they were trying to, you know, slow us down and not trap us. And as much as I don't like this aspect about VCU, I think that Dayton had the size and ability to really try to press us. And if you look at our previous games, we do struggle with the press. However, Dayton attempted to do that, so I know they did their homework. I thought that VCU did a really good job right out of the gate of handling that and not showing any weakness. Because I believe if we were to turn it over once, maybe twice, then the intensity would have ramped up for Dayton in the press, and then we would have had to deal with that. But one thing I noticed that VCU did do, see on makes, that's when Dayton tried to set up the press. The good thing about this game is a defensive battle, so there probably wouldn't be a lot of scoring. But on the misses, VCU really did a great job of pushing in transition. Missed balls, turnovers, whatever. They did a really good job of pushing the action, probing the defense early, trying to look for early shot attempts before Dayton could really set up their monstrous defense. You know what I mean? It's different when they're scrambling, trying to get settled, opposed to coming down the court and the defense is already set. So I thought we did a really good job of that, which created a great pace for both teams. This game, both teams were struggling to score, but they weren't struggling to get up and down the court. It wasn't a boring, low-scoring game, if that makes any sense. It was almost like the 90s basketball, in a sense. I thought that both teams played physical. Both teams were aggressive against each other defensively and offensively. And it just made for a great game. And speaking of aggression, Michael Bell. Let's give a shout-out to Michael Bell. I thought Michael Bell came off the bench, and he had a fire under him. And I think, what game was that? Was it last game? Who are we playing? Not LaSalle. Fordham. It was the Fordham game, and I seen Michael Bell. That's when he hit a couple corner threes and attempted a couple dunks. And since then, I hope that he continues to build on this, because he played with a lot of aggression, defensively and offensively. He played like he was actually 6'8". On the offensive side, you know, that's been my biggest gripe with Mr. Bell. Man, I got nothing but love for him. I think he's going to be an exceptional player here. I'm glad that his season has kind of went like this, in a sense, because now he has a chip on his shoulder to go and get it more. But now that he's played and he's went through the freshman slump, he's hit the wall, and now he's finally breaking through it. You see him come out on the other side and is aggressive. Is I'm getting downhill, I'm making the right plays, I'm not playing timid. And that's something that VCU needs. And don't be surprised if you see a huge Michael Bell game when these games coming down the stretch. where he has a double-digit scoring, and he has 5 or 6 rebounds and a couple of steals or blocks or something like that. I'm truly expecting that one of these games that he's gonna truly blossom, and you're gonna get a glimpse of what he truly can be. So it was good to see him come off that. Now, another thing I noticed about this game, it's a bad habit that VCU does, and we didn't do it a ton this game, but I guess you can kind of give Dayton's defense a little bit of credit. They are the number one ranked defense in the league. But VCU has a habit of just perimeter passing without penetration. And when you play defensive teams like Dayton, and you know, say we make it to the NCAA tournament, you're gonna have to eliminate that habit. You can't just swing it on the perimeter without any penetration, because you're wasting up shot clock. You're not making the defense move or adjust or anything like that. So we're gonna have to do a better job of setting screens, tough screens. Guard's gonna have to do a good job of taking the defender below the screen, using the right angle coming off it to really get the defense moving so we can drive kick, and really get good shots. I didn't think we had a big issue with that this game. I thought that we did a good job like I said earlier, getting the ball in transition, not really letting Dayton's defense set up and having to go against it. But the few times that we did, I found that we did a lot of perimeter orientated stuff instead of, you know, really getting some penetration. But how we remedied that was Sean Barristow. Coffee. How we remedied that was Sean Barristow. Now everybody knows that Sean is a very versatile, very versatile player, 6'7". I call him White Magic because I think he has the ability to pass the ball and generate offense off his passing. And we did a really good job of whenever Sean got a mismatch, just him getting into the post, backing his defender down, and making the right play out of that, almost like a point four, almost like LeBron James-esque. And I thought he did a really good job of making the right decision. Now, sometimes he got caught in the middle and was stripped, but that's part of Dayton being a good defensive team. On the other hand, I thought he made a lot of good choices. His mid-range game is starting to come back. I think early on, he's still trying to get his rhythm as far as like getting his legs under him, but I think he's coming along now. And I really think that, you know, partially, I think that he had to get, there's a lot of things. Okay, one, he had to get comfortable with his teammates and being comfortable taking over offense possession and doing that, which I know he had. But when you're out for a while, it's kind of tough to come back and just be like, okay, this is what I do. Especially when your team has a rhythm. But then, you know, the foot being broken, the conditioning, all that's starting to come back to Sean. And I thought he played exceptionally well against Dayton. And moving forward, I think he's going to continue to do that. And I know we discussed how we like the three-guard lineup, but I knew it wouldn't last. Sean Barristow was back in the starting lineup. So that was one of the things I just wanted to point out. Now, for Dayton, I think VCU did a really good job of maintaining pressure on Holmes. But with that, somebody else was bound to step up, and that guy was Nate Santos. He kept making plays defensively and offensively for Dayton. When we talked about Sean Barristow and him being stripped a couple of times, it was Santos doing the job. He has very active hands. He's a big guy, around 6'8". So one of the few guys that can truly match up with Sean and his athleticism. But I think even on the offensive end, he did a really good job, because we had to double Holmes, of course. But he did a really good job of moving without the basketball, catching and shooting, and really made VCU pay. But luckily, he was really the only one that was able to get off like that. And for VCU's offense, let's not forget about VCU's offense. We said how Sean was making plays, but early on, the guy who kept us in the game was Jay Nelson. Now, I was unaware of this. I was unaware of this. I had to go back and rewatch the game. But I was unaware that Jaden L was on a shooting slump. 1-for-17. I guess when you're spoiled with victory, you don't really pay attention to individual struggle. But he, I thought, because I mean, even though he wasn't making shots, apparently, he was still contributing to the wins with his defense and his tenacity and his assisting. You know what I mean? So I really didn't pay attention to him struggling from deep. He was 1-for-17, and it's like he was like 1-for-17 his last 18 shots. It was crazy. But in the first half, he came out and found a rhythm, and he knocked down 3 threes in the first half, which really helped VCU's offense open up. So shout out to JNL for that. And like I said, VCU's defense on Holmes. Let's talk about it. We knew coming in the dual threat that Holmes was offensively and defensively. But I got to give Toby, I got to give Furman, and then I got to give everybody else credit for helping out. I thought that we did our work early. A couple times he was able to catch it low enough. But the majority of the time we pushed him away from the basket, made his catches further out than he would like. So that's called doing your work early. If you don't do your work early, somebody like Deron Holmes, somebody like Chad Venning, they'll push you all the way under the basket, catch it, and then you're at their mercy. But I think Toby and Furman did a really good job of pushing out his catches. I thought that we did a great job on executing our doubles. We didn't come immediately. We didn't come with the double immediately so that Deron Holmes could use his passing ability and just pick us apart. We waited until he put the ball on the floor and was attacking the basket and then came with a double. That forced him into turnovers. That forced him into tough shots and ultimately slowed down Dayton's offense in general. I thought we played physical with him. I thought we did a good job of even limiting his touches, especially in the first half. He really couldn't get going. I believe he finished with 2 points in the first half. So I got to give credit to the whole VCU team, but especially Christian Furman and Toby LaWall. Now, with that, playing so hard on Deron Holmes, we found ourselves in the second half in a situation where both our bigs had four fouls. And this is where things get a little weird, all right? So I thought, like I said, I just gave credit to Toby and Firm. Even after they picked with their four foul thing, they did a really good job of playing great defense without fouling, standing their ground, walling up, hands through the ceiling, not being bent over and catching any silly fouls, but just playing solid defense. But when you're a great player, you find a way to get to the line. Holmes is shooting 85% from the free throw. 85%. But let me show you this. In yesterday's game, Deron Holmes, 85% free throw shooter. Was 5-for-13. 85% free throw shooter was 5-for-13. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, it could be the sixth man, the Ramley, the environment, which the stew was packed out. Shout out to everybody who came and supported. And it could be he was physically tired. I mean, I thought, like I said, we played very physical with him. Nothing came easy to him. So it could be he could just been physically tired. But 5-for-13. And if you look at how this game went, if he makes majority of his free throws, it could be a different story. It could be a different story. He could put more pressure on VCU. However, he struggled. And he struggled mightily, and it hurt his team. And let me tell you why those points are very, very important. Let me tell you why they're very important. VCU scored 49 points. This is, like I said, this is a low-scoring game. Defensive battle. VCU scored 49 points with 6 minutes left. 6 minutes left in the game, VCU scored their 49th point. VCU dogged out a victory, 49-47. We didn't score the last 6 minutes. There's multiple ways to look at that. How do we go 6 minutes without scoring? Well, Dayton's defense is elite. How do you win a game not scoring a point with 6 minutes left in the game? Well, VCU's defense is elite. It's one of the most odd things I've ever seen in my life. To win a game scoring under 50, to win a game, to win a game not scoring the last 6 minutes, that has to be unheard of. Crazy. It's crazy. But if he makes those free, if he makes free throws, then we're gonna have to, he's gonna put pressure on us to score. You know what I mean? But he didn't. VCU's defense held strong. Dayton had a chance to tie or win it at the end, and we played excellent defense. No fouls, physicality, contested the shot, and most importantly, finished the damn play with a rebound. So it was a very exciting game, and it was a low scoring game. So one, I'm a fan of offense. I am. I do love offense, but I can appreciate a defensive battle like this where there's just no, you're not getting any good looks. If you're making a shot, it's a tough shot. Like those games I appreciate more because I feel as if both teams are truly bought in. Offensively, it can be, you can run up and down, it can be open gym. But when both teams are locked in defensively, it creates an environment of nothing easy. So when you get something, it's valued so much more. So, shout out to both teams for that. Shout out to VCU for handling the business and taking out the number 18 team in the country to boost their resume and also move them forward in the A-10. I thought the keys to this game were VCU's depth. They had 23 points off the bench opposed to Dayton's 8. VCU won the points in the paint battle, 28-26. Oddly, especially for VCU, shooting 79% from free throw. Both teams finished with 50% from the free throw line. VCU out-rebound Dayton 37-32. And I have to give a huge, I know I sound like Donald Trump, huge shout out to the officials of this game. The officials of this game allow the young men to play like young men. I don't know how many times I have to say, like, it worries me sometimes how the officials officiate men's games. And I compare it because I watch women's basketball too, and I compare it to women's basketball where they're allowed to be way more physical than men. And it would just blow my mind. But to see that the officials allow these young men to play a physical brand of basketball and see how it was just all competitive to this and it wasn't any rah-rah. It was all, I'm just trying to win the game. And for the game to go the way it did and still be exciting and still be intriguing and still be a close game, I completely love this game. Completely love this game. I have no gripes with this game, especially that VCU won. But if we happen to lose in a game like this, you just got to tip your hat. It was one of those, it was a great classic game. So, Dayton. Daron Holmes, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. Anybody else's metrics, that's a great game. But I got to give credit to VCU. They've been doing this for all season, basically. Any team who has a number one guy, we do a really good job of keeping their number one guy under their averages. Now, he had more rebounds than he usually does. But off, like, as far as scoring the ball and making it tough for him, I think VCU did a great job, and I hope they keep that up. Like I mentioned Nate earlier, Nate Santos had a really good game, 19.6 rebounds. And usually when you have a secondary guy like that step up like that, it equals a victory. However, VCU, their defense in totality was just absolutely astonishing. Offensively, we made enough plays. Zeb Jackson had a really big second half, 9 points in the second half. I think we did enough to pull out a tough victory over a great team. So VCU, Zeb Jackson, 9 points, six rebounds. Sean Barristow added in 6 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And then my low-key player of the game is the only player for the black and gold to score in double digits. Janell. He didn't really have anything else, a lot of zeros in the box score. But he played with a tenacity on the defensive end. And in the first half, he really kept us afloat with his shot-making ability. So I had to give it to him. This is the first time where you can say, like, Max Shuga had 2 points and 5 assists. You know what I mean? Like, we really played a complete team basketball, brand of basketball, and won. Only one guy in double figures? You kidding me? We have four guys that average double figures, but one guy in double figures and pulling out a victory over the number one team in the conference is amazing. Amazing. Amazing work. So, moving forward, we got some stuff to talk about. I've seen people online, on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, X-Files, IG, Instagram, Threads, whatever you want to call it. VCU has the toughest schedule moving forward. They got to play University of Henrico again, Dayton again, Duquesne, St. Joe's. Doesn't matter. End of the day, it doesn't matter. You got to control what you can control. Take each game at a time. You know what I mean? Listen to the broadcast. They start talking about at-large bids and everything like that. And at the beginning of the season, they said that A-10 wasn't that good. Oh, it was ranked number 14 as far as leagues go. But now, it's ranked 8. Top 8 league in the country. And you know if they're giving us that, because the A-10 is very underappreciated, if you ask me. Even last year, this is going to be a one-bid team, a one-bid league. That's not really that good. But yet we had like 5 teams in the NIT. I guess that, what? That don't make sense to me. But anyway, regardless. So now they're saying we're top 8 team. So they're saying Dayton is a lock. So like I said, I hope Dayton and the University in Henrico do extremely well when they're not playing us and we bust them up. First round down, we got another round with both of them. Let's take care of business. If we do that, I think we're gonna be able to put our Cinderella shoes on. But at the end of the day, we gotta take one game at a time. VCU next travels to St. Louis. St. Louis is one of these teams that I think they're well coached, but they just don't have the talent in my eyes to really make some noise in the A-10. But any team you're playing at their house, you got to be careful. So you got to go in there focused and take care of business, because if you want to keep your at-large bid alive, you probably only got one, maybe two losses available if you want to have an at-large bid. And even with that, you don't want to lose to a team like St. Louis. You got one or two more losses. That means Dayton, Henrico, that's about it. You got to take care of business with these other teams. These teams that have no shot in hell, let it be that way with them, with us. They don't have a shot in hell with beating us because we're so locked in, we're so focused on them that we knock them out of the park. So, also, VCU has beat all three top teams in the league. We're ranked 4 right now, I believe. But we beat Loyola Chicago. We beat the University of Henrico. And now we just beat Dayton. So knowing that, there's no team out here that truly wants to face us, face this defense. There's no team that really wants to do that. But we have to understand that certain teams are going to want to give us their best shot because of that. So we got to go out there and play. And I love people say, oh, well, we got the hardest schedule out of all the top four teams. Appreciate it. Appreciate being in this position. This is a great position to be in. Last year, we were in a similar situation where we had to win. We had to win. Every game was I had to win this. That type of pressure allows you to be sharp. It allows to have that chip on you. You're like, yo, we got to. That little bit of pressure is needed when you're playing games like against SLU. Of course, VCU gets up for big games. They get up for big games. You know what I mean? But when you're playing a team like St. Louis, you need that extra motivation. And being that we have the toughest schedule out of all the top four teams, love it. Appreciate it. You know what I mean? So VCU, they've shown that they have some dog in them. They've shown it. Being these top three teams, they show that they have some dog in them. Now, the question is, are you full? I guess we'll see. That's all I got for y'all. So until next time, never quit. Stay humble. Peace.